Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. I made some interesting discoveries when I was preparing this. Firstly, that the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible. It doesn't appear until quite on into Christian ideas. But the idea of God in three people, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is very much in the New Testament. And it sounds very strange. How can you have three who are one? But if you think about it, we're very used to that idea of three in one. We have water, which we know as liquid, we know it as ice, and we know it as steam, but it's always water. And if you have an egg, and I know Liz and George have eggs at the moment because the hens have taken off. An egg is a shell, it's a yolk and a white, but it's an egg. And St. Augustine took the idea of the human mind and said the mind is memory, it's understanding, and it's will, but it's all your mind. And some of us are a bit short on some of those at some times. And he also used the idea of the shamrock, which, if you think about a three-leaved shamrock, it's got three leaves or three lobes, but it makes up one leaf. And so it's not such a strange idea that we are able to understand how three people can be in one. And if you think about white light, which is so essential for life and for growth, it's actually made up of seven colours, of course, each one on its own, brilliant, but put together, it makes light to sustain us. And in this idea, each of these persons is a person in his own right, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know about God, the Creator, the Father, and we know about Jesus, and the Father sent his Son so that we could see Jesus and understand what he likes and what he doesn't like, and his compassion and his love for everybody. But Jesus spoke to God as his Father. He sang hymns to him, he prayed to him, and he pleaded with him. But he could still say, I and the Father are one. Some of this mystery we won't understand until we get to heaven. And Jesus always refers to the Holy Spirit with a personal pronoun. I did once at the beginning of my preaching career talk about it and got the deacons descending on me. That was at Staley, Duckingfield. I don't know if you know Duckingfield, but Duckingfield is a strong town, and they're very down to earth. Anyway, that's Duckingfield. And I've been very challenged recently because although I talked about the Holy Spirit and preached on the Holy Spirit, I didn't really see him as a person. A rushing wind, yes, flames of fire, a dove, a spirit, an urge within to do things or not do things, but not really as a person. Some of you may have read the book The Shack. Did anyone like it? Personally, I hated it. And the sequel, which was something Crossroads, was better, I thought. But it does very much show the idea of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you want to lose your temper, try reading it. or Jenny will give you an exposition. Now, I have done a sheet of this at the back because there's so much detail and so many biblical references. And if you want to take one at the end, feel free. But the Holy Spirit is spoken of very much as a person who is a spirit of truth. He persuades us. He shows us what are the true things of God. He's very much a comforter sent by God. And it doesn't mean just a comforter, not someone who will give you a cuddle when you're crying. It's very much someone who's there to give you strength at all times. The word is actually the word that's used for someone who, an advocate, who defends you in law. So this comforter is very much on your side to give you strength. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God, and he helps us to reveal them and to search them and to know them. He helps us to evaluate situations, to know what is good and what is bad. And we're also warned that he can inflict punishment. Not that sort of thing that people cry when something goes wrong, like when I crunched my car a couple of weeks ago. Why me? But very much he will talk to the Christian and persuade them that this is not right, that there are consequences to, for example, not forgiving, because unforgiveness and resentment can eat up and damage our Christian witness. So the Holy Spirit is very much a person who has a role given by God. And we do know, and there isn't room to go into this now, that the Holy Spirit can be grieved, just like people can be, and he can be sinned against. But the Holy Spirit has some very specific work that has been given to him by God. He's a teacher. It's the Holy Spirit that enlightens it. You can, you know, like me reading the New Testament and never thinking of the Holy Spirit as a person. Suddenly something can jump out at us, and that's the Holy Spirit at work. And sometimes when we read things, we are reproved and we're convicted, and we realise that we have not walking in the way that God wants. And sometimes he is able to regenerate us, able to show us where we should go and give us strength to go forward. He renews and he guides us into truth. He's able to empower us, as he empowered the apostles on the first Pentecost, that power which not only enabled them to speak foreign languages, but gave them the courage to take the bolts off the door and go out and preach to those who had condemned Christ and killed him. And I always find that it's incredibly moving to realise that both the Son and the Holy Spirit actually pray and intercede with the Father for us. We're not alone in our Christian witness and our walk, but very much Jesus and the Holy Spirit are with us. At times the Holy Spirit is actually called God, and we see all the attributes of God in him. He is truth itself. He is eternal. He's not going to disappear. He's omnipresent, and he's life transforming. And the work of the Holy Spirit is always seen as God's work. He does take a back seat because it's not his nature or his work to call attention to himself, because he's there to put the power into the lives of Christ's followers. And recently I read an article by, I think it's John Jowett, who was a preacher in the 19th century. And he likened the Christian life without the Holy Spirit to an English garden in January, or this year, an English garden in April, if you can remember that far back. So all the bulbs, all the roots, all the seeds are there, but nothing's happening and everything looks lifeless. But once it gets the touch of the sun and once it gets some warmth, then it's transformed. And we've seen that in the last month. Very hard to think back that we were waiting for things to open and flowers and trees to go green just 3 weeks ago. Incredible. A great miracle. And that's the kind of miracle that God will perform. So it's a mystery in one way, but we can learn a lot about what the Holy Spirit can do walking with us and being with us. And I don't think it matters too much if you find you're talking to the Holy Spirit or to the Son or to the Father, because they're all one. Amen.